Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Woo, get it on. Boy, I tell you what, right now. Looking good, Drew.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what's going on. A couple of quick things before we go to the phones. Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you something, Drew. You know what this show is?
What's this show?
It's not about me. It's not about you.
Boring. It's about the callers.
It's about the callers.
And the cash register, which is you.
Right here, buddy.
Right there. Yeah, yeah. I see.
Now, here's... Thank you. Here's the thing. We were saying that the Loveline bidding, the tsunami relief bidding that was going on to be a guest on this show. Come in. Sit down. Sit with
us. Well, let's reset it.
Go ahead.
That the mother station here in Southern California, K-Rock, from which the show initiates, has a tsunami relief auction going on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things up for auction, for bid, was to be a guest on Loveline.
Mm-hmm.
And as we left it on Thursday, the bid was up to $11,000, some gentleman from Boston.
Yes.
We just heard that just as it closed out on Friday, somebody bid $15,000.
Yes.
And that person has not been identified for us yet, so we would use his name.
Right.
Gleefully.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, you know, as a quasi-celebrity, me being a C-list celebrity, Drew, unclear, D or F. I don't know if F is no celebrity. Is there an F celebrity? That's F is your gardener.
Right.
Everybody's not a celebrity. Is an F celebrity?
F means you failed. You're not.
You just
you're out.
Yeah,
out.
You get
incomplete.
You don't get credit for the class.
Right, it's incomplete.
Okay, so yeah, unfair to call Drew an F celebrity, mm-hmm. but D minus.
D's fair.
D's fair. D minus.
How okay. dare you, F? How
Here,
dare you?
I didn't know if an F was as low as it went. Now that I know it's as low, now that I know that, you know, engineer Chris. Yeah. Okay, the point is, now I know the janitor's an F, I'm moving you up to D minus,
Thank
brother.
You. I appreciate that.
The point is this. Once in a while, you get in these situations. It's like you're doing a book signing, you're doing a calendar signing for the station, you're doing some sort of thing, or there's some charity auction where they're going to auction off lunch with, mm-hmm. and your greatest fear is that you just go for $33.22.
There's a converse fear. There's to go for $3,300. It's like, oh my God.
No.
The guilt is guilty.
No, that is not the converse fear of the D/C
okay.
celebrity. The fear is that you're going to put Loveline up there with all these other things, have Pennywise play at your house, go to lunch with the Stryker, get a guitar signed by whatever band, have Travis from Blink-182 give you guitar lessons, so on and so forth. All these things, and you think you're going everything's going to get $20,000, and you're going to get $85. That's the fear. So it's nice to kick everyone else's ass. It's not a competition. I'm not saying it's a competition, Drew. We're raising money for the tsunami relief. But it's nice to go off at the top of the pyramid, yes?
However, from my standpoint, I do have the converse fear, which is that of guilt, which is, oh, my God, this guy's paying so much money for this.
Well.
How are we gonna live up to it? It's like, ah.
Well, you can show up. You can not headbutt the mic.
No, he may be looking forward to that.
Oh, well, all right.
See, that's the point. We don't know what he wants.
You normally do. All right. Well, you just sit there like Stugatz
okay.
and bang your head against the mic the whole time while I carry the show.
All right,
if he wants a
he wants the
line,
usual
he
show.
He wants the
yeah.
usual show. All right. That's beautiful.
No, he's just donating money to the tsunami relief, and you guys are like a novelty prize, right?
Right. That's the way I look at it, too. He's donating money, and he would have done it anyway. Okay. These guys, by the way, would have given money. Yes?
Yeah, I would think.
All right. So God bless him. $15,000. I'm going to wear I'm going to give myself an extra pass of deodorant. I normally go boom, boom, like down and up.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's back again. Once more around the park.
He'll be expecting some talc, too.
You better
come in a cloud.
I will talc up.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, we have a couple of guests from one of my favorite new shows, Lost. And that is the brother-sister team on the island, which is great. Not only both great-looking, but they hate each other, which is perfect, because the brother can't stand his dizzy-headed blonde sister.
Except he's getting mad at the guys that talk to her.
Yeah, well, couldn't imagine. So both of them are coming on the show tomorrow night. And I was just thinking to myself, everyone is so good-looking on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people that aren't supposed to be good-looking are actually good-looking. Yeah. The question is what if that was a Southwest flight? Could you imagine?
Well, they have one guy that was a Southwest flyer, interestingly. He's dressed just appropriately. Got the cutoffs, got the too small a t-shirt, weighs 350, four pills.
The morbidly obese guy. It would be an entire island
of those guys.
Of morbidly obese, disgruntled guys in cutoff sweats and flip-flops. Yeah,
guy's strangely attractive, though.
He's got too much charisma to be a Southwest flyer.
Right.
You'd have to have just angry, disgruntled, and ugly, and eventually they just start eating themselves. Mm. And the good news is you could live off one of them for months.
Oh, sure.
Easily. All right. Imagine that, Drew. Just the whitest albino trash with the cutoff sweats and a bunch of guys wearing tank tops with the Rottweiler on it that says bad to the bone. An entire island of those yahoos. Fanny packs galore. I mean, when the plane crashed, probably be raining fanny packs for months after the accident. Be washing up on the beach. You'd see them in trees. Every time a storm kicked up, there'd be fanny being pelted with fanny packs. Oh, and you know my luck would be? My luck would be, it'd be one of those I'd be on the plane, and it'd be one of those Southwest flights where some a-hole called in and said his kid was allergic to peanuts, so nobody could have peanuts.
So there'd be no peanuts
left. And I'd be eating that horrible Fiesta mix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Ooh. And
that's
the stewardess would be cracking wise the entire time with their crappy jokes. And I'd have to spend the entire time on the beach in that jump seat that faced the wrong way. Even though I was on the ground, somehow it would be facing the wrong way and I would feel like my eyeballs were coming out.
Oh.
Imagine that, Drew.
Oh,
imagine what that show would look like with Southwest planes going down.
We'll talk more with them about that tomorrow.
You see one hot chick on one of those flights ever? No? Anyone under 200 pounds? No. All right. Let's rock here, Drake.
There you go.
Drake?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
A couple months ago, my girlfriend said she wanted to try anal sex. And we tried it, and she didn't like it. And I don't know. It kind of sparked an interest for me. It's not like that's all I crave, but it was kind of, you know, like that hot thing that just kind of was.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Adam, what do you think about this idea of that people up the ante all the time? And that when they do, they sort of are going down a path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The next thing it's going to, okay, we need to bring another person in, and we got to move along the arousal path.
Well, you know, if you think about this country and this society and all that, that's basically what it's about. How are you doing this year compared to last year?
But when it comes to sexuality, I think there's a momentum to it for some people, almost the way you can get a momentum with drugs.
I agree. I'm just saying, why should it be different than any other aspect of your life? I mean, if you think about what this country is built on, I don't want to sound like one of the founding a-holes, but I'm saying it's like, let's move. Hey, man, what you did last year, not good enough this year. It's time to ratchet it up. That's all anyone ever really talks about.
And so that sort of gets ingrained in it, but that kind of behavior has a positive payoff. Those sorts of momentums have good payoffs. This kind of takes you spiral.
I know, but I think it just bleeds into the bedroom.
I agree, but I'm just saying here, maybe it needs to be contained. Maybe it doesn't apply quite so liberally in this bedroom and with substances. Things you can get motivational shifts in your brain around.
You gotta be careful with. Oh, no, I agree with, obviously, yeah, I mean, obviously, it's like, well, you did this, you only did one balloon of heroin last year. This year, it's time to do two balloons.
Right.
I don't mean it that way, but I just mean we're getting hit over the head with faster, better, stronger, better, faster, and I think we're just sort of spiraling in that direction.
Do you agree it should be contained in the bedroom?
I do. Mm. But, you know, philosophically, this is something for you to hear, too, Drew. Mm. We probably ought to wrap it up a little
everywhere
because you'd end up just sort of this crazy treadmill, and everyone's talking into their BlackBerry and multitasking, and this is going insane. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
Drake?
Yes, sir.
So we're saying cool out a little bit. She didn't like it. I know you've got your arousal spidey senses are up now, but contain it a little bit.
I just wondered, is that weird for, like, I mean, is it weird for guys to be attracted to that? Because, I mean, I don't know. It kind of makes me feel like maybe I'm
Well, you're definitely gay.
Yeah, it definitely makes you gay, right?
Gotta be gay.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% of course. Now, look, we talked to a lot of guys that are into this or are attracted to it, and it doesn't mean anything. To me, it smacks of alcoholism. To me, is that you need more arousal all the time.
Yeah.
And so, just be careful. Just kind of reel it in the way you would a substance or anything else. Just focus on the good stuff that you do have.
There are guys out there, and especially guys, not so much women, but there are guys out there that are, you know, there's, it's like somebody goes, oh man, you see that thing on the news, the guy getting cleaned out by the train on the motorcycle,
right.
And there's guys who go, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to have a dream. Yeah. I don't need to see that. And then there are guys who will pay to see it.
Well, and then need more after they've seen that.
Yeah.
Then they
got to
get something weirder and grosser.
No, I'm just saying they're guys who would definitely not want to miss that evening news if that's what's going to be. And they're guys who say, man, I don't need to see this.
Right.
I think it's almost the same guy.
Could be.
And there are guys out there that just, they're I don't even know what to call it, but they want to see, it's like they're the guys, they're not going to kill anybody. They're not going to hurt anybody. They don't want anything bad to happen to them or their family. They would definitely not miss that newscast where the guy got cleaned out.
I'm going to shift a little bit on you and also talk about how these guys with their need for anal sex with women, I think it harkens back to that same pulling the ponytail impulse that guys have.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? They would like to abuse and physically manhandle women, and then women like to giggle along with that?
Yeah.
Do you even respond to that?
Well, I mean, but a lot of sexuality is just, a lot of it is aggression. I mean, there's a fair amount of aggression mixed up into it, and there's a little, you know, now who's in charge? I mean, there's a few elements. As I've said many times, Drew, when I'm cornholing someone, you know who the boss is. You don't have to come in.
You've been just waxing philosophy. You've been sitting around reading Kierkegaard all weekend. What are you doing?
You're in charge. Yeah. I wish you'd just go around, just do your day that way.
Yeah.
Just what are you going shopping? What movie do you want to see? I want to see that movie where they drink wine. All right, we're going to see the Van Damme trifecta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It definitely puts you in charge, and I think that's another thing that guys like. All right, you ready?
There you go. Keep going.
Trey.
Yeah. Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew. Love you guys.
Trey, thank you.
Thanks, Trey.
Yeah, I've got a problem. I'm a commercial salvage diver.
Wow.
And I recently suffered decompression illness, the bends.
Ugh.
Yeah. Hold on a second. We may talk for
20 minutes.
20 minutes. 45. Trey.
Yeah.
Commercial salvage diver.
Yes.
All right, let's hear all about this. First off, the bends, called the bends because you bend over.
Yes,
that's what I like. I like a very simple one. You know where they got their name, Drew?
I didn't know that.
You know where it got started?
The stomach.
Just bend over, yeah.
Ouch.
It must have been easy before there was all these CAT scans and doctors and cultures and everything. Like, what do we call this one? Well, the guy's attempting to blow himself while he's standing on the edge of the pier. Bent.
He's bent. Bent.
Bent
or bends? Bent? Bends. Bent
sounds bends.
Good.
Bent sounds good.
Trey,
could be the squats.
What were the manifestations?
The manifestations, you know, I just completely clamped up. I started feeling tingling in my hands, clamped up, and they took me to the hyperbaric chamber.
So you didn't have any skin reactions or joint reactions or anything like that?
Joints
just muscle.
Feeling kind of weird, and I, by the time that happened, I was stabilized.
And you generally do things to avoid this, I imagine?
Always have tried to avoid.
And did you come up too quickly or something, or what happened?
There was an accident. I was doing a saturation dive where we were down for a very long period of time in which we were completely saturated with nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And there was a mix-up when I was getting lifted to the surface, and I came up too fast.
Wow.
Dangerous.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
We were doing some salvaging on an old ship that had a car on it, and so we had to go grab that.
Ooh, I may weave this into my new story. Hold on a second.
Perfect.
Awesome. We got to keep talking. Now, let me say a few things. First off, where they invented the bends is when they were doing, I think, the Brooklyn Bridge, and they were digging caissons, and they had to dig those caissons deep into the bay. Yeah. People were getting the bends not in the water.
Coming up.
They were getting the bends by going into this air chamber, this caisson, and spending too much time down there.
Right.
And then coming up. And everyone was, like, people were dying of it all time. Trey. All right, I got a lot of diving-related questions for you.
No problem. problem.
Let me tell you a story. You like this too. I had a guy that was a recreational diver. He came up and he had sort of red marks over his knuckles,
mm-hmm.
and he had a little bit of discomfort there. It was like it persisted for 2 weeks after he dove.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "What is this?" And we called all the diving people. We called everyone we could think of. There's a Long Beach has a special sort of decompression chamber and stuff. Nothing, no big deal. Maybe it's a sea urchin bite or a sting or something. Guy goes down about a month later. He's about 30 feet, dies. How?
What was it?
The bends, decompression.
The bends?
Some kind of decompression syndrome.
But the knuckle thing was?
Yeah.
Okay. Trey?
Yeah.
We'll see you in hell, is what Drew's saying.
I know, but I get that a lot.
But now, how deep were you on this dive of trying to salvage this car?
Oh, we were at 90 feet.
And what kind of ship crashed that had the car on it?
It was some old yacht, actually. They were trying to bring this car over to one of the San Juan Islands.
Uh-huh.
They were this rich guy was doing that, and it sunk.
And what kind of car was it?
A Ford.
That's boring.
Old
I thought
Ford,
it was going to be a Duesenberg or something.
Yeah.
What year was the Ford?
67, actually.
What?
Well, I
don't know why he was doing this.
Don't you guys have a recycler where you are?
Well,
you pick one of those for $3,500. Okay, so... He found a. So you went down to get the 67
there's
Ford.
There's woven into the seats.
Yeah, there had to be some.
Sure.
And how long was the car underwater?
It had been underwater, we think, for 2 years. By the
2 years.
By the ship.
And how bad a shape is a car? I know it depends where it is and how cold the water is on, but 2 years, I don't know. Can you bring it back to surface and you know, work on it and get it, you know, restore it?
You couldn't restore it, but it's pretty good scrap money, and you can sell the pieces pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Something's missing.
How do you get it to the surface?
We use these big lift bags that we hook up, and if we have to take up piecemeal, that's what we do.
And you take the lift bags, fill them with air, and then float it up?
Hook them up and let it rip.
And they'll float a car to the top?
Yeah, if they're big enough.
And then how do you get them out? And then you just like hoist?
Hoist on the back of ships that we use to lift them up.
Wow.
And take them back.
Now what else? What's the coolest thing you've salvaged?
Coolest thing I salvaged was this ancient old Buick from the 30s. It actually restored perfectly.
No, you do
car?
Lots of cars?
Lots of ocean? Cars, actually. We get
what?
A lot.
You do a lot of cars?
A lot of cars.
You did an old Buick?
Yeah, it was so cool.
And how long had the Buick been underwater?
It had been underwater easily 40 years.
Hold on, I got to talk to Drew.
What?
Well, now, how come the Caddy that was from 67 had only been under the water for 2 years, but just good for parting the thing out?
The Ford.
For 2 years.
But the Buick was...
The Buick's been under for like 40 years, but it restored perfectly.
Colder water? I don't know.
Well, maybe the Ford wasn't worth the restoration.
Right. The Fairlane.
Trey.
Yeah.
Why, and wasn't the Buick covered in, like, barnacles and stuff? Was it a mess?
Actually, it wasn't, because it was still in really good packing. It was
one
of those Connex containers, and it was really wrapped up tight, and so it was okay.
Wow.
Oof. What kind of Ford did you pull up? What kind of car was it?
I actually don't know what kind it was, because we just scrapped it.
All right.
And, wow, there's money here.
Well, let him ask his question.
All right. What's the deepest you've ever been?
Deepest I ever been, officially or unofficially?
Unofficially.
Deepest I ever went was 180 feet unofficially.
Oof.
Wow. Crazy. You know what's crazy? It's those free divers.
Oh, God. Those guys are insane.
They go down like 200, 300 feet?
Oh, that's,
doing what?
I think I heard 400 feet once, but I'm not.
Doing
I'm
what?
They hold their breath and go down 350 feet. Chicks. Hot chicks.
What do they do down there?
They set records.
They go down and come back up.
They do down there. They do welding on oil derricks. What do you mean they do down there? They come back up again.
Wow.
They go all the way. If you Chris, punch up free diving on that computer.
Okay.
This time tomorrow, we're going to have an answer for you people.
I used to free dive halibut, and we'd go 30 feet. And that was a huge deal. I mean, you know,
the record's probably into the close to 300 feet. Oh. Okay. So what's Trey's problem?
My problem is I cannot get an erection now.
Since the bends?
Since the bends, I have been unable to get an erection.
How long ago was the bends?
The bends was 7 days ago.
And what else? You got a congested sinus infection or something also?
Yeah, I've been coughing and stuff, and I've been having congestion pretty bad.
Are you taking something for that?
Something that suffered the symptoms, but...
Like what?
Just a little bit of Robitussin and some codeine-laced stuff.
Well, codeine, that's it. No erections. There
really?
You go. Yeah.
No boner with the codeine?
No boner with the codeine.
Bet I could get one.
So that's why he's not having erections. It's probably not to do with the bends.
All right.
But it'd be interesting if it were, because the bends can cause actually tissue damage, and so you might want to kind of check that out if it persists after you get off the codeine.
You know what my dream is? My dream is to be underwater and A...
And breathe.
No, no. No, not dream. I just make a fantasy. I want an excuse to look at a watch underwater. There's nothing cooler. Even when you're in a pool. You ever jump in a pool and you look at your watch and you're underwater? Now, here's where I want to be. I want to be like in the ocean. I want to be kind of deep. And I want to do that thing where I point at my watch to you. You know, I do this thing. I do like two and I do like that. And I point at the watch and you do. And I set the thing. That's And I also want to have a knife in my mouth at some point.
But that when you're free, you have a regulator in your mouth when you're diving. You can't have
Oh,
that.
Yeah. No, no. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. The point is just, Drew, just to point at your watch and to really mean it. Like, you have to look at it underwater. You think you'll ever be in that situation?
I used to do a lot of diving and stuff.
Scuba diving?
Yeah, I used to do the free diving frame of scuba diving, and he'd always be going, he'd telling me how long he's got.
Pointing at the watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't point at your watch.
He pointed at his pressure gauge. He pointed at the pressure gauge.
No, you need to point at your watch.
Yeah, so.
You need a big, hefty, big, thick rubber band on it, and you point at it. Look at this. But you don't say anything because you know.
No, you know. It's just a time.
Wow, Drew going after halibut.
Yeah, he used to be halibut.
Free driving.
Yeah, yeah.
Free diving. What'd you hit him with? A spear?
Huh?
How big? What's the biggest one you ever got?
Probably about 12 pounds. Not
12 pounds.
Ones. There were some big ones out there occasionally. But
nice.
Yeah.
Oh man, that Drew. Passionate man.
Hey, speaking of which, I have a quick request from our listeners.
Hurry.
Again, for Discovery Health Channel, we're looking for people to be on that show. Looking for people who have sort of sexual hangups because of germs. They're afraid to have oral sex, a French kiss, that kind of thing. And people who are fearful of seeing letting their spouse or partner see them naked.
Mm. Yeah. All right, Chris, what's the record for free diving?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah. Adam, please.
How can Chris be doing what I told him to do the second time I ask him every time? Like, if I say, here's the thing. What's the date today? The 15th?
Yeah.
It was January 15th? 15th. If I said to Chris, I need you to look this up and be January 15th. If I came back 4 years later and said, well, what's the answer to that question? He'd say, hold on, let me get that.
It's the 16th.
I'm getting to it.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now.
400 feet,
Anderson.
Engineer Anderson
That's
says.
Nuts.
400 feet. And you know what? Chicks do it.
Tanya Streeter does it.
There you go.
122 meters is what it was.
122 meters. Wow. 400 feet. And by the way, anyone's ever been out in the ocean, look down and see what 60 feet looks like, you'd go out of your mind.
You can't see the bottom. You just get 60 feet.
Yeah. 400.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Hold your breath.
3 minutes, 38 seconds.
Wow.
Her heartbeat was yours, Corolla. It was like 60 beats a minute.
They go down on a sled. They go
down.
It pulls them down. Then when they get to the bottom, pow, they pull this, nitrogen cartridge or something in a balloon thing, and it shoots them back up again. But you're still going down 400 feet. And there's a great story about this really hot, like 20-something-year-old chick. Yeah. I mean it.
She exploded?
Set the record, had this like a husband who free dove, went down. He was going for the record, but it wasn't like sanctioned right. He screwed up the balloon thing, boom, went down. Thing didn't go.
Uh oh, so how's that?
Couldn't get back up.
Ugh.
Died.
Ugh.
Yeah, bad times. Good looking chick, long hair, and
she was the one that died.
She was the one who died. Yeah, and then they were going after him because they said you didn't set it right, that was murder. It was crazy.
God.
Someone's going to make a movie out of this. All right, should we take a break, Drew?
Please.
400 feet, everybody.
Ugh.
It's like a 35-story building, just whoosh, straight down on a cable.
There's a movie called The Big Blue that's all about that. It's a French film. It's very good.
Yeah, I saw it. But it was I think it's about 10, 14 years old. Drew, I get around,
I know,
bucko.
That.
Let's take a quick break. Did you find it, Chris? How many feet, buddy?
400 feet.
Oh,
400
Chris.
Feet.
Excellent.
That's what I'm
well
talking
done.
About. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Drew, who do we talk to? Why does her vagina stink? Yeah, that's Savannah after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. Woo! Got a get it on, I'll tell you that right now. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Tomorrow night from Lost, the exceptionally good-looking brother-sister team, Hot Blonde and the good-looking fella. And, you know, I can't judge another dude's looks because I'm not gay.
Yeah, of course. But you've heard. You've read about it.
Well, chicks like him.
Right.
I like when guys can't even admit another guy's good looking, so they have to say that, I don't know if the dude's good looking, but like my old lady and my sister are into the dude, so I guess, you know, the ladies dig him. Like, you can't even say he's good looking, you have to say someone else thinks he's attractive. Because, you know, I ain't into, you know, as a dude, I can't judge what another dude looks like. I can judge what every other thing looks like boats and cars and football uniforms, and there's nothing I know. I don't have a take on, but other dudes?
No, impossible.
Don't know, dude.
Yeah.
But he's coming in with his good-looking sister.
That's going to be fun. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. You ready to go? Savannah?
Yeah.
17?
Uh-huh.
Funny story regarding the name Savannah today.
Hmm.
We were, I was over at Kimmel's house watching the fourth game in, I went 0-for-4 this weekend, by the way. I didn't, no gambling, just every team I wanted to win lost.
And Pittsburgh.
I was,
Isn't Pittsburgh your team?
No, Pittsburgh is not my team.
You picked the Jets?
No, I didn't pick the Jets. I don't like Pittsburgh.
I'm just saying, I thought you the teams you were rooting for all lost.
Every team I wanted to win lost.
I thought you rooted for Pittsburgh. I'm surprised.
What? Where do you get Pittsburgh?
Are you? We've talked about it before.
We've never talked about it before. Yeah. I'm a Rams fan.
I know you're a Rams fan. I know that.
I said I hate Pittsburgh. That's about all I said about
Pittsburgh.
No, you
said you were happy that they beat the Pats a few weeks ago. I think that's what he's getting.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm tired of seeing the Pats.
And the Pittsburgh team in the 70s you were involved with. But you liked all those players and things.
No, I just know who they are. Right. They're arch nemesis. Okay, and they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl when I was in high school. Come on, Drew.
In the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I can't stand the Steelers. Right. I'm okay with them now. It's been 26 years since they've been to the show. I think it's, time off for good behavior.
They went 96.
Let them back in. Yeah, I'm sorry, one. The Super Bowl, Anderson, Pittsburgh fan. Point is, I root. Here's the thing: all things being equal, always root my ass off for the underdog.
Hmm.
That's what I do. Can't stand and don't understand and find it weak when they have nothing at stake, just wanting the better team, the team that was at the Super Bowl, the World Series, the team that has won the last five times they met. They have nothing at stake. They want that team to win a sixth time in a row. They want that team to go to a third consecutive Super Bowl. They want that team to go to another World Series when the other team hasn't been there. I don't like those people.
That's true. That's me.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, not necessarily. But so let's say you live in a town that doesn't got much else to be rooted for,
mm-hmm.
and you have a dominating team, and you want to get behind that, and you've lived through periods of lean years.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's say you live in a small town like Green Bay or something, and has a football team. That's what else are you going to be happy about?
You're missing my point.
No, I understand point too, but I'm just being converse. Yeah.
Well, if you're from Green Bay, you root for Green Bay. And if you're from New England, you vote for New England. And if you're from New Orleans, you root for the Saints. But if you're from South Carolina and the Saints are playing the Pats, you should be rooting for the Saints.
Agreed.
They suck.
Okay.
That one team's had a ton of success. The other team's never had any success. You root for the underdog. It's like if two guys are fighting, you vote, you try to get the guy who's not the champ to win if you don't care. If there's no money on it, nothing like that.
Got it.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those people that like the favorite all the time. It's like they're weak or something.
Because
mm-hmm. you're going to, by the way, you will lose 9 out of 10 times going for the underdog.
Right.
There's a reason.
That they're the underdog.
Yeah. And
you're living proof of that.
Well, pretty much this weekend, every team that was the, four times four games, all four losses, pretty much.
Yeah.
Although the Colts could have been, you know, one-point favorite or something like that. In my mind, they're defending Super Bowl champion, and they got crushed.
I, rather than watching football, was in Moreno Valley. Do you know where that is?
No.
Other side of the mountain from Palm Springs.
But named after a Hall of Fame quarterback. As long as we're talking.
Spelled a little differently.
Okay.
But we will have to include them in our weather and traffic from now on.
Oh, really?
And my son was having a baseball tournament out there. So every morning, 6 o'clock, get up, drive up.
Yeah. Says,
oh, yeah.
All right. Here's what I was getting to before you interrupted me. I was saying.
Savannah.
Before you called me a Pittsburgh fan. I was saying that over at Kimmel's house, I was watching the Colts take an ass-whooping. And Jimmy was ordering some pizza. He called a pizza joint. He gave his address out, and the guy said, is that the place Savannah blew her brains out?
No way.
That's what he said.
Is that it?
No, it's not the place, but for some reason the guy thought, well, it's up, you know, Hollywood's in the hills somewhere. That must be it. Or he's making a joke, or he just saw E! True Hollywood Story. But it was funny, and Jimmy couldn't get over it, and he mentioned it like 30 times, and it was funny that this guy would have the balls to say that to somebody who's trying to order a pizza.
Wow.
And what if it was, by the way?
That's what I'm obsessing about.
Right. Everyone would be freaked out, and I would have to masturbate. You know. I mean, that's how I cope.
Yes.
That's how I cope with the pain.
Yes.
The point is
we have a caller named Savannah for the first time.
We've never had a caller named Savannah, and Jimmy was talking about that about 5 hours ago. Go ahead, Savannah.
Yeah, okay. I recently had sex about 2 weeks ago. For my second time, and now I'm getting a foul smell from my vagina.
Well, and that was unprotected sex?
Yes.
Yeah, undoubtedly you have what's called a vaginitis,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that can be transmitted with sex. Either Trichomonas or Gardnerella or Haemophilus, these bacteria or protozoans that overgrow in the vagina, and they can be stinky.
Mm.
And they can be passed around. And they can also be a sign of other infections. So you are sexually active, so you need to get regular pap smears, and anytime you get any funny symptoms, you got to get them checked out. These generally can be treated with either a cream or sometimes an oral antibiotic.
Okay, can it have anything to do with my diet?
Savannah, did you hear anything I just said?
Yeah,
you have a sexually transmitted disease, for sure, period, end of story.
But I ate some Twizzlers Friday.
You need to get this taken care of, okay?
But I ate one of them, what is that thing called? A jicama. it's like a water, it's like a beet, but it's white. And I ate some halva. We call it Jew food. The point is I think it's my diet.
Yeah, wish so, but no.
But I don't normally eat Roquefort dressing on my salad. I eat zesty Italian.
At least, Savannah, you were able to hook it up with the sexual act and protected sex. And that's where it comes
what
from.
What did you eat just for fun, Savannah?
Yeah.
What did you eat?
What were going to try to blame this on?
I've started a new diet and I'd eat fruits and high protein.
Yeah,
and
fruits
it's a lot less high protein than
I've been
eating lately. Yeah.
What? I ate an orange and some fish. Could that? What do you eat? What is this diet?
LA weight loss.
Huh?
High protein for the
Atkins kind of thing.
High protein and what else?
Fruits, veggies, greens.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me write this down. Mixed in with moderate exercise.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And,
it's so shattering and new ideas here.
Slow down. Look, I hate to... I know all these diets are great and it's fun and it becomes like... the whole deal is try to out... How do we outsmart Mother Nature?
That's how people should be eating anyway.
Yeah,
what's
Savannah's
describing?
No, I saw they did a whole thing on like 2020 a couple of weeks back where they just took a couple of families that were like basically morbidly obese and the kids, by the way, kids routinely, I got like 11-year-olds, so like 245, 250.
Yeesh.
I mean, they're just loads, okay? The point is they took the whole family and...
They're on a healthy diet.
They just, yeah, that's what it is. Like, they go on a healthy diet and they start... And by the way, exercise.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
All
everyone,
of them
everyone,
smelly everyone, vaginas, yes?
Everyone. The dad did, yeah,
yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
The point is everybody just eats right and starts exercising. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is exercise. That's the part other people really aren't talking about.
Eat less, move more. That's it. That's the headline, everybody.
Yeah.
Everything else is... ridiculous.
Yeah, and don't really worry about what you're eating as long as it's healthy. I think people do a little too much of like, I got to stay away from any carb.
No,
I got to load up on the protein.
Yeah.
I got to...
People need to pay attention, make sure they're getting enough protein. But other than that, I had a dietitian friend that was saying, eat real food.
Right.
Vegetables,
yeah.
Fruits, actual food.
No,
not processed things, not things that are
right.
Crazy. true foods from Earth.
Right. I'm just saying that it's not a big mystery. Everybody knows that a piece of fish and a piece of broccoli is going to be better than a bunch of canned chili dumped on some spaghetti that's been sitting in a pot for 2 days. I mean, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about how many grams of protein are in the fish and how many grams of carbs are in the whatever. You just eat right and you exercise. It'll work.
Good times.
Thanks, buddy. No free lunches in nature. Yes,
thank you for quoting me.
Junior?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Chris, are we out of those honey roasted macadamia nuts?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, check that out, would you, buddy?
Yeah, macadamia nuts actually a good diet food.
Get the one they're soaked in coconut oil. Is that it? Yeah.
Those have sugar on them?
These are the regular ones.
Those are plants. Forget that.
Get rid of these.
Yeah.
I want the ones that are
honey
rolled
roasted
in honey and dipped in lard and have been passed by diabetic.
Now, while we're waiting the
cashews
for the
nuts. Are these honey roasted? Cashews. Do you see the word honey roasted anywhere on this can? Chris.
You're confusing them, Adam.
Please.
You're confusing them.
I need to see honey and roasted. All right. You ready? No, we're out of it, Chris. It's cool, buddy. Look up that free diving thing, though. You ready to go? Want to speak to Junior?
I want to hear his problem, yes.
Okay. Junior?
Yes, Adam?
You're 23?
That's correct.
What's up, brother?
Hey, Junior.
Hey, I'm 23. Recently, like within the last year, I'm not circumcised, and when I have sex with my girlfriend, I develop like small cuts at the edge of my penis. It's hard for it to roll back, and I was wondering whether or not I should get a circumcision or whether I could still do it because I'm 23.
You can definitely get a circumcision, and I believe you definitely should get a circumcision. That is one of the indications for it. What's going to start to happen is the foreskin is going to narrow up even further and tear more when you have sex, because it's going to scar each time you tear it, and it's going to be a problem.
How about he starts working it out?
Well, you put a little, Utter Bomb on there and...
Well, I mean...
stretching
it
out.
I don't know what, by the way, vitamin E, what is a good thing to rub on your skin if your skin was dry or chapped or chafed or whatever?
Urea creams are really the best thing.
Urea cream?
Yeah, if
where
that's
is
available
that?
Over the counter. If you see anything with urea cream in it, that tends to be the best.
What is urea cream?
It's just a moisturizing agent. It's, you know, it's...
What about vitamin E? What about that oil?
I don't know that it really shows any. The vitamin E is being largely defunct these days.
Well, I don't mean eating vitamin E.
I know, I'm
just
saying.
I mean, it's just pure oil. You know, it's good. I don't know. If you had a dry spot and you rub that on there, would probably not be dry. All right, here's the deal. Why don't you, Junior, why don't you work on trying to get the foreskin back behind the head and leave it that way for a little while?
Stretch it out.
Stretch it out. Don't let it get the stenosis.
Or get a circumcision, which is at your age a rather painful procedure,
right,
and it pulls you out of action for a couple of weeks.
First off, Drew had both his sons circumcised, and now the entire planet must be circumcised in order to make his decision correct.
No.
He should
if
try...
If I had that problem, I would go get a circumcision immediately.
But listen, as a doctor, you're supposed to tell someone two or three things to give a shot, and then you go get the surgery. You don't just go get circumcised. Oh, it's very painful for a man.
You know why I say that? You know why I say that? Because it's not going to work. It's going
to
come back.
If he gave me his penis, I'd get it to work.
Well, probably.
You don't think he could pull his foreskin back over his head and leave it that way?
I think
it would
strangle it off
and the head would fall off?
Once it starts to scar, scarring is a perpetual process.
Do you think
process.
He can get it? Do you think it would continue to scar if he left it back?
Every time, the scar will, it's a process.
How can it shrink if it's behind the head?
It will.
No, and then cut off the flow to that?
I've seen some guys have very, very uncomfortable situations with that.
Junior.
Yes.
Can you get your skin behind the head of your penis?
I could, but it hurts and it rips the skin. It rips the tip of the skin.
Even when it's flaccid?
Even when it's flaccid.
Oh, if you can't do it when there's no blood circulating through there, then you got a problem, buddy.
Yeah, that's why I called.
Oh, but don't get a circumcision. Adam does not want you to get a circumcision.
No,
don't do that. Oh, no. Don't do that.
Explore,
no matter what, don't do
Jack
it.
Jack Hole. I'm saying, Drew, this is not a large procedure, but it's easy for you to say. For him, he's going to be in a lot of pain.
I'm saying if I were him, I would do it.
You didn't ask any questions. You didn't know where he was at with it yet.
Once they start getting the narrowing from the scarring, it keeps going. It just keeps going.
Junior.
Continue to shrink smaller?
Yeah.
You can't try to get the head of your penis through there right now. I'm going to hang on.
That's a little difficult. I'm kind of driving right now. Well, actually, my girlfriend's driving, but...
Oh, she's driving.
Well, no problem.
All right, no problem then. See if you can do it.
Why don't we let him do it during the commercial?
All right, do it during the commercial.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right.
Hold on.
All right. We'll talk to Junior and see if he can get Puxatani Pete to come out of his burrow. And we'll talk to him about that after this. Yeah, everybody. Love line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew.
I want to make another appeal for my Discovery Health show. We need some people who are afraid of germs. They're fearful of French kissing or oral sex because they're fearful of germs, or people who are afraid to let their partner see them without any clothes on in the light. And if you want to be on television, talk about these things, give a call to Loveline, and we will take your name and number and look into that.
They run those shows. I think I saw 2020 last week where they go to like a health club and they take a swab and they run it on a medicine ball and they bring it back to some nerd with glasses and he explains what's on here and now it's a killer. But now, people, there's, you know, people, some, you know, high school football player drops dead from it or something. I mean, there are strains that F everybody up, but they just don't get anybody.
And
they say it's overuse of all the antibiotics.
Sure,
everything.
They get very resistant strains out there. But if you have an intact immune system.
They always try to freak you out, by the way, with it. Your health club. And it was, it's funny. You know, you watch this thing, you see some he's healthy, he was young, he was handsome, he dropped dead, you know, 2 days later. Perfectly healthy, and it's funny. I go, well, you know what? I'm going to start paying attention to this stuff. And they go, you should wash your hands. And I go, all right, I'm going to start washing using soap. Okay, for at least 30 seconds and vigorously get under the nails. And I'm like, okay, now I've had enough. I'm going to scratch my ass and floss. That's my move. I'll pick my nose, scratch my ass, and then floss.
In that order.
It's so funny. They said 30 seconds of hand washing, and I was up, and they said thoroughly around the nails and cuticles. I was like, all right. Well, I guess I'm going down. I ain't going to make it. I don't think I've used soap. Like, I don't even use soap, Drew.
If you're not preparing food and not in the healthcare field and not, like, massage therapists or something, really?
Why do I really? Vigorously wash my hands?
Is that important? Is it? Yeah. Just
all right, we're getting freaked out.
Just don't touch your hands
right?
or face, that's all.
Okay, you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Okay, so when we left off, we're speaking to Junior. Junior's 23.
He's driving.
Having some scarring around his penis.
He's driving down the 10 now.
Foreskin. And Junior.
Yes?
Were you able to get the head of the penis out of the foreskin during the commercial break?
It hurt too much. I couldn't.
It hurt too much? All right, go consult somebody and see about getting a circumcision.
You need to get a urologist. You'll be out of commission in about 2 weeks. It'll be pretty uncomfortable, and then it's over. Then you're good to go. Okay.
One more part of my question. When I do have sex with my girlfriend and when I ejaculate, the ejaculation that comes out, it's really hard.
Like thick?
It's like almost jelly. It's like,
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that's just you.
That's you. You're tapioca man.
You're probably eating too much flour.
No. It's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah. I love the guys that really examine the consistency of the semen.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what comes out of me because I ain't gay. You know what I'm saying, dude? I don't look into that.
You keep reminding me of that.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, weird guys getting weird. It's all over the place. Adam?
How you doing?
You're 15?
Yes, I am. I have a Germany or Florida for you.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right, a parent left her 6-year-old daughter alone in the car at a parking lot of a store. While the child waited for her mother, an escaped criminal broke open the car's window and attempted to abduct the child. Along the way, they were on foot. The child got loose, picked up a metal pipe on the ground, and hit her attacker in the groin, rupturing both of his testes and causing severe damage to his urethra.
Nice. 6-year-old?
Yes.
Oh, that should be a parade in that child's honor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Germany.
Germany? They got black kids in Germany? This is a move of a brother. I mean, a mother brother. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say.
All right.
Because they're tougher breed. You know, Germans are tough, but this is a young brother.
All right. So you going to Florida?
I'm going to Florida.
What do you got, Adam?
Germany.
Ha ha. Ooh, I've been on a run.
Wow. Drew's really been hot. Really. All right, Adam. It was a coin toss.
No lead pipes in Florida.
I just want to work a little racial joke in there, really. Martin Luther King Day coming up and everything. Yeah. Wow. I think I'm like 1 for 5. It's been a tough new year for me as far as Germany or Florida's go.
You've been off. You've been back into training.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the bathroom and take a good, long look in the mirror. Mostly because I'm peeing in the sink, but also to do a little soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Let's go.
Let's go. We'll be back after this. Yeah! Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Gotta get it on, buddy.
You are getting it on.
Woo! Get it on!
I think Chris is in high spirits tonight, too. He's actually kind of grinning at, and not smiling, but sort of grinning at some of the things you say.
Let's get it on.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't smile, but this little grin, I thought, wow, he pulls tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Something's going on with Chris.
Well, both my teams won this weekend, so.
Oh, really? Uh-oh.
I'm going to
start getting angry when I find out.
I sense both a girl. Are. A girl.
A girl?
Yeah.
You know what? Here, I was thinking, don't tell us yet, Chris, and please take this in the spirit in which it's intended. I was starting to think a girl, too.
Yeah.
And then I thought, nah. But particularly spirited masturbation session.
Okay, yeah.
That's, you know, good, one of those times.
A relationship with something.
He just had at himself in a very cosmic way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, so, that's it.
That's it? No
any,
girl?
Any women? Any women on the...
No flesh and blood?
No.
No, and nothing, no love, you can't get any love line love, you know what I mean? You can't
what do you
get,
mean?
Well, you get a little mileage out of love line. Like,
oh, you mean
drop
the name? You know, I run the show.
Yeah, you do that
we'll
thing
back you
like,
up on that.
Okay.
Like they go, like, I think that Germany or Florida, that was my idea.
Huh?
You just keep doing that,
okay. And
then it's like everything that comes out of Corolla's mouth, if it ain't written on a dry erase board that I hold up over my head, he ain't saying it.
That's good. You're my best friend, you know.
Best friend. And
talk to him all the time, you know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Got him on the cell phone.
You want me to get him on the phone? I got him on a speed dial. He'll pick up, knows me. Yeah, I'm just saying, can you get any mileage out of the show, K-Rock? You know what I'm saying?
I'll work on it.
I think, as a guy, by the way, as guys, the looks are good, but they're neither here nor there.
Mm.
I mean, it's good to be a good-looking guy, and definitely get more tail is a good-looking guy, but there's angles to be worked. You know
Chris,
what I'm saying?
Chris got to work that angle.
Chris, you got to start showing up at K-Rock type events.
Right.
You got to have a card made up. Yeah. Engineer, head engineer,
business
supervising
card.
Engineer.
Yeah. Loveline.
Love line, right. Supervise, whatever it is. Don't stay away from the $10 an hour part, but focus on the sort of
from the junior college part too.
Yeah, you're steering the show.
I'm a D-list celebrity, right?
DCD celebrity.
Yeah,
in there with Drew. So where were we, Drew?
Taking calls. Yeah,
was that it?
Yeah, I think so. You and I have been so sort of vigorous in our discussion. We assume we can't tell where the radio's let off and our discussions in the bathroom pick up.
Yeah. All right.
Oh.
Speaking of calls, I just wanted to say this.
Yeah.
I still, after all these years, I still don't have Corolla's cell phone number. Not that I need it, because I rarely have to call him, but I did call him over the holiday break.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, Adam?
Yeah, I did.
It was surreal. No, Lynette did, and she was very pleasant, very nice. And then there was about 5 minutes of her looking for him all around the house. It was like a large house.
A, you didn't call his cell phone. You called his home.
I know, because I still don't have it.
And you called her line, not his.
No.
I've had you pick up once out of the Avogadro's number of times.
I just wanted to leave a message. That's all I wanted to do. And I was getting, like, sweaty palms when I was waiting. It was horrible, because I was picturing him in a back room masturbating or something. I thought he was going to get caught because of me. It was horrible.
Oh, get
it
caught.
All worked out.
You think his wife's not used to that?
Let me say this about the wiseacres with your private designation on the phone. You know, you get the private thing on there. Here's the thing. I just I audibly talk to the phone. I'll look at the phone. Phone's ringing. Says private.
Nope.
I'll go, all right, there you go, buddy. It's your prerogative to go private. It's my prerogative not to, you know, it could be my mom, for the love of Christ. I can't do that. She's private. Everyone in my family's private, by the way. And you know what I should do? I should pay my family $500 a month not to go private. I'll tell you why. Because it ruins everyone else.
Oh,
because
see.
All you got to do is get one person you don't want to talk to.
Right.
And then it's ruined for 500 other people who are private.
Well,
do you know what I'm saying?
It should be, though. People should get off that stuff.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
How about then we have to dial the star 86 or whatever to get through to them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I got to know a few of those people. So anyway, private, I don't pick up. And then I realized, you don't need to pick up the phone.
But I don't have a private number.
People, well, that's why my wife picked up. And look, people are way, way too accessible these days. Everyone gets angry at me. They want my cell phone messages are all full. Everyone wants me to return an email. What do you do then? You just talk to everyone all the time about everything?
It's tough. You have to have relationships with people. I know it's rough.
Hold on. What did he say, Chris?
Yeah. Communicate. Relationships, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Human contact.
No, but look, Drew, you got that BlackBerry, right?
No.
All right.
Oh, it's a two-way pager,
You got the two-way pager. You got your email. You got your cell phone. Everything has a message on it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really? I mean, you're a doctor. You have to do it. But really, isn't it a burden?
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone leaving these messages, these emails, and what do you think about everything?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's just avoid all that. Matt?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've been with my girlfriend for about 10 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had some issues with me going down to her vaginal area, like any sort of sensation, anything you touch, do anything to it, she just freezes up and she doesn't really function. And
all right, kinda, then you dodged a bullet. Mazel tov.
How old is she?
She's 18.
18.
Does she have any trauma history?
No, she doesn't. That's the thing. I know her very well, and that's one of the first things I thought about because I listened to your show quite a bit, and she doesn't have any issues. She's never had any past problems. It's just that, she wants to have sex, but she just can't. I mean, she tenses up. She won't let anybody go near it. I mean, let me go near
anybody.
It.
Well, here's the thing. She's 18.
Yep.
Has she had other boyfriends?
Not anything serious, no. I mean, nobody's ever really fooled around down there except for me.
Okay. And there's two things this is. Usually some abuse,
trauma,
some trauma. Doesn't have to be sexual abuse, but it helps. And then and if not that, then you just have the person that's sort of 18, but sort of 14.
Squirrely, yeah. Needs to just, be
yeah,
brought around.
Yeah, there's chicks out there that are 18 that are like Vietnam nurses, and they're like 60. And then there are chicks out there that are 18 that are, they're 14.
And by the way, we've got a 20-year-old guy going in like he's about to like dive into some sort of buffet at Caesar's Palace or something.
Apple bobbing contest.
Right. He's got to really take it easy. Easy.
And she's just, and also... and I don't know how this works or why this works this way, but there's a certain percentage of people that are just a little bit skittish. They're a little embarrassed. They don't want to do things. They're not.
What? I need to talk to them for the Discovery Health show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah. Well,
Matt?
Yeah.
Go, Drew.
No. I mean, they whoever's in the studio there with the screeners need to pick up and talk to Matt and see if they get them set up for Discovery Health.
Go do that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If there's no history of trauma, then this is just a slow process that involves they gaining your trust or you gaining or whatever. Contextually, I screwed that up, but they have to trust you, and you got to move slowly.
Yeah.
And you can't give them the bum rush.
And realize she's not driven the way you are. It's not like there's this great desire to have her genitalia touched.
Right.
The way you have,
right,
Matt.
Right. All right. Let's talk to Chloe. Chloe? Chloe.
Caller who goes by Chloe from Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. What's up, caller who goes by Chloe, who's 17?
Okay, well, me and my boyfriend, we've been having, anal sex for a little over a year now. And,
is he there with you? Is he there with you? Yeah. He's putting her up to this.
He's in her right now.
He's in her right now. No, he's putting the bogus call up.
No.
Put him on the phone.
No, really. We've been for a little over a year now, and recently, I've been getting sores after, and sometimes it bleeds when I go number two, and should I be worried about this, or is this?
Yes, normal? I would be very concerned about that.
Yeah,
and, why did this start happening now?
Because you've done this enough to damage that area. You can cause tearing and fissuring and hemorrhoids and all kinds of lovely things. Mm-hmm. And even though this is a bogus call, it's something
bogus, Chloe.
Yeah, worth discussing, because you need to see a proctologist, you need to see a gastroenterologist, and they need to go see what's going on there. You get narrowing and stenosis.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about, the guy with the
circumcision.
Yeah, with the penile stenosis, the foreskin stenosis. Same thing can happen with the anus.
Really?
Very uncomfortable, yeah.
Crap comes out like it's a Play-Doh being extruded.
Mm-hmm. Stars.
If that's what I'm hoping for. Like, if I get the stenosis of the anus, I want it to be in either star-shaped or football-shaped. Perhaps
square.
How about hollow tube, like a rigatoni? I don't know how that works, Drew. If I could get a... You know what I'm saying?
Weirder
things have happened.
Yeah, oh, indeed.
You get it clogged up in the middle, but a small opening around the outside, and it comes out like tube pasta.
Just a nice big polyp sit in the middle of it, and then extrudes around.
Wow. The polyp would kind of almost have to be floating.
You could have an unclosed circle and still look like a tube.
I could, I could patch that up with a little, when I was a ceramics man, we would call it slip. It was sort of a liquid clay that we'd use. We need to do a little repair in your coil pot, but... This isn't a slip, but for slip, all intents slop. And purposes, it is. Yeah.
Any kind of S is fine.
My headphones fell off.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Duke so much, my headphones fell off.
But, Chloe, the fact is, though, that you can cause what we call anal pathology, and you can cause even prolapsing, and all kinds of lovely, lovely things. And as you get older, those things get more and more significant. So you're 17, you're already having bleeding. You actually bleed to the point of it being very, very serious. So you do need to see a doctor about this. You know Chloe's a bogus call.
Yeah. Sam?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm losing my hair, and I don't know why.
Mm. You on any medication?
No, I'm not on any medication.
Birth control pills?
I'm on the Depo-Provera shot.
That can make you lose hair.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
How long have you been on, that for?
Almost 2 years.
Well, so it wouldn't suddenly do that. No, that shouldn't be the case.
Is
it all over your head or just in spots?
It's just in spots. I have one spot in the front of my hairline that's staying a lot, and I have two bald spots in the back of my head.
And you're not pulling at the hair there?
Huh?
Are you pulling at the hair?
No.
Scratching?
I treasure my hair. It's a beautiful Auburn.
All right.
Wow. Auburn is nice. You know what's a nice look? The Auburn hair with the Auburn-colored eyes. Once in a while you'll see combo.
I have honey eyes. They're like a brown, but they have a lot of gold.
Right. Ass the size of Wyoming, but beautiful honey-colored eyes. Yeah, what's happening? You got a little ass on you, baby?
Actually, I look like Angelina Jolie. I used to do an impersonation of her, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked with a radio station, and we pulled off a stunt. I was Angelina Jolie in a premiere for Tomb Raider 2.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun.
you could do worse than looking like Angelina Jolie.
Hey, Sam, is there anything else going on? Are you stressed out? Are you doing drugs?
I don't do drugs. I smoke cigarettes. I don't drink alcohol.
What you're describing is something called alopecia areata, and that can come on sometimes with an extreme stress, like a car accident, that sort of thing. Suddenly you start losing hair in patches.
Mm-hmm.
Medication can do it. What happened?
I got laid off December 31st. And I broke up with my boyfriend, who I lived with for almost 2 years.
Moved
in with my cousin Shannon, and Shannon's
we've known her for years.
You're living with someone's name starts with an S. Serious hair loss problems.
Yeah, so it could be the stress of all that. But Sam, it does become important that you get looked at medically, because there are many other medical conditions that can cause this too. So let's hope it's the stress. What?
Do I go to what kind of doctor?
General doctor's fine. I mean, dermatologists are sort of specializing in treating this. They can do actually steroid injections into the scalp and things.
Mm.
But start out with a medical doctor. Just get a general medical evaluation.
Did you wear that Tomb Raider outfit?
Yeah, I did. I have the holsters. I specially ordered them. And I also have replica guns that she used, the H&K USB-45.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got those.
USB. I thought they were USC.
USC, sorry.
Yeah.
Dyslexic.
Yeah, I don't know. And hold on a second. First off, nothing sadder than the impersonator. I see him on Hollywood Boulevard all day.
Yeah.
It's like Superman, but he's wearing blue sweatpants. And it looks like he cramped in them. You know, it's just a little baggy around the ass. And you know that thing like when sweatpants start going south, they start chafing a little and they get a little furry.
Yeah,
and they just look like they've been like a sofa that's been left on the porch or hillbilly's house for too long.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's always a little. Now, this sounds good, but I guarantee that there would be something like the, she's Angelina Jolie impersonator. You saw her, there'd be a little letdown when you saw her.
Hmm.
Do you think?
Otherwise, she'd be Angelina Jolie.
Well, you may be right.
Seeing her.
Sam?
Hello?
Sam?
Hello? Yeah?
Remember, somehow I'm thinking of the guy. We were at a party in New York, and the cowboy showed up, the guy that stands around singing without his clothes on in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What party were you at?
You were there.
Oh.
That axe party?
Yeah.
But some of these people that stand around and do things on the street. I mean, this guy shows up as himself now, the guy in underwear.
There's a whole impersonator. I mean, you make money as an impersonator, but it's a weird life because you're not the person, obviously. And you ain't half the person or a quarter of the person. It's a weird thing. It's like, well, you're Angelina Jolie. Well, not quite. Well, you look the same. Well, she makes $25 million a year. You make $22,000 a year. Like it would, even if you could live a quarter of their life, it would be, you know, a tenth of their life would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. It's like Angelina Jolie's dating celebrity hunks and has a place in Milan and Beverly Hills and Malibu and Thailand, and you're working out of a trailer in
even a hundredth. If they can make $220,000 a year.
Yeah.
A hundredth.
Yes,
that would be
nice. And it's always weird too. Guys hire the people for the parties, and then they have to walk around, and they kind of have to be the person. But then they get drunk, and then they get bored, and then they start talking, and then they bother everybody.
Yeah.
You ever go to a party where somebody was doing that?
Thankfully, no.
Yeah, well, it's happened.
That was nice. Chelsea.
Hi.
Hi.
21.
Yes.
And.
Well, my problem is I have liquid coming from my breast. It's like really uncomfortable because I'll be like out in public, and then all of a sudden it'll like be like cold, and there'll be like a wet spot on my shirt.
How long have you had that for?
Like a couple months now.
Any chance you're pregnant?
Yes, actually, I went to my doctor and they tested me and everything, and I'm on the depot shot anyway, and I also use condoms, so.
Did they test you for pregnancy?
So you're not pregnant.
They did, and it came back negative.
Did they check it?
And then I also went to the doctor because sometimes those can't be accurate.
Are you on any medication?
Depo. I was in a car accident, and they put me on Demerol for my back because I've had injuries from
it. Oh, boy.
Demerol's powerful.
So you're a Demerol addict.
Ooh.
So
no, why does she have to be a Demerol addict?
Demerol is not something you take in a non-addictive fashion. Demerol should never be given more than a few days. If you're taking Demerol regularly, that's a problem.
Well, I'm not taking it regularly. They gave it to me because I've been in a car accident.
And you don't take it every day?
No.
How often do you take it?
Like, whenever my back starts to hurt really, really bad. I don't take
How
it
often
very
is...
often because I have a little girl, and I'm going to be there for her.
How often do you end up taking it?
Now you're junkie.
How often do you take it?
What?
How often do you take it?
Like, maybe once a week.
Hold on, let me do a little Demerol math here. She was doing fine in my eyes until she said, I have a little girl, and I want to make sure I'm there for her.
Yeah.
All right, now that means
that she's been an addict.
Her mom.
Yeah.
Oh, she sounds like an ex-addict.
Yeah, yeah.
She also sounds like her mom may have been hooked on something that wasn't around her.
Yeah.
And then once a week on the Demerol, as you know, our callers believe in a 3.5-day week.
Yeah, I know. So
three
that's
and a half to
every
four.
Third day. But let me tell you, I speak fluent addict. She's not telling us about the Norco she takes on the other days.
Norco. Chelsea?
What?
Let's ask some important questions now, baby doll. Were you an addict before? Were you hooked on anything?
No.
No booze?
Actually, no. My dad was an alcoholic, so I stayed away from everything because he beat me when I was a kid.
PB. You know you're going to inherit that gene, right?
And then if I've never touched my child.
No, the gene for addiction, the addiction gene.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I stay away from stuff.
And where's the dad of this?
I grew up without my dad and, you know, pretty much without my mom, too. So I'm not.
What was the deal with your mom?
My mom was always working and my dad was stealing her money to go drink at the bar.
Nice.
And where's the father of your child?
Well, he's not here.
Oh, Adam, you got that?
Shocking. Yeah, it's easy.
Of course.
You grow up without a dad, and your kid's going to grow up without a dad. Sad, but that's the way people work. I wish we would just look into that a little bit. Yeah. There's very easy patterns.
I don't want to go into it, okay?
What's that?
You know, you don't understand, but I'm not going to go into that.
No, we do understand the dad's a bad guy, but it's amazing the way people pick patterns in their life. If you grow up without a dad, the probability is overwhelmingly, unless you have some treatment, that you'll make sure your child grows up without a dad, too.
No,
I understand it's probably better than having him around.
Your father does not need to be around.
I understand that. Magically, you chose that guy.
So, Chelsea, and you're on the shot, right? You're on, like...
it could be Demerol pills.
No, I'm talking about birth control.
Depo-Provera, yeah.
So you're not going to get pregnant again, right?
Yeah.
That's great. And how many kids do you have?
Just one.
All right, that's great. And now you're taking the Demerol once a week. What else are you taking?
That's it.
Nothing else?
No.
No other prescription pills?
Well, I have ranitidine because I have stomach problems, but that's for...
Zantac.
Reflux.
Oh, okay.
It seems peculiar they'd give you Demerol to use as an as-needed base. That's a very powerful heroin-like compound. And that usually only is used in people that have failed everything else.
Hmm. Can you want to see about having that adjusted, Chelsea?
Well, okay. Yeah, but right now I'm waiting to go to a back surgeon about my back.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you stop using the opiates, there's a good probability that back pain will settle down, and the opiates may be causing
the ridiculous because I got hit in a car.
I understand. I understand, and I know it seems ridiculous, but actually.
I'm taking this, like, just to get high and stuff.
No, I know you're not. I know, Chelsea, my standard patient today is a back pain patient who takes opiates. That's mostly what I do in my day job. And the story, just think about it. I wrote a book called When Painkillers Become Dangerous that chronicles your story with the abuse and how the abuse figures into the perception of pain and how the opiates then really amplify all that. You may want to look into that. You may want to think about the leakage of the breast milk. You got to look at thyroid, got to look at pregnancy, but medication is a very, very, very common reason that people get that problem.
Why, let me just ask you this, Chelsea, why are you going to get the back surgery if you only have pain once a week?
I'm not going to get the back surgery. I have to go and see what he wants to do because I need to get cleared to go back to work.
All right.
Good.
Well, good. Take care of your kid, go back to work, and enjoy. And, look into that stuff, but you ain't pregnant.
Check that book.
That's good.
There you go.
David.
She doesn't want what we have to say. So
no. Well, look. Maybe she's right. She had that weird. She had that effed up.
That angry thing.
Well, like her dad was a horrible guy and all that stuff. But I just mean, speech pattern wise, or something had a little that sort of ex junkie or something. And I don't know. You're doing Demerol really? If you say once a week, what are you doing it really?
Well, why is she taking Demerol once a week? Why not Vicodin or something, or codeine or Advil?
Do you have any Demerol?
No, Demerol once a week. That's a bizarre.
No, but it's got to be once every 4 days, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, let's take a break, Drew.
Yep.
Stop being a pain in the ass. We'll be right back after this. Okay. Yeah, it's Love Line. Get it on, drop down, get it on, drop down, drop down, get on. Yeah, it will drop trial. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam. We got to talk to this person, but let me talk to Amanda real quick.
Come on,
buddy. Amanda.
Yes.
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
What?
Yeah, are you okay?
Yes. I'm actually calling about my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually living together. We've been together for about 3 months now. And just recently he started, like, wetting the bed and stuff. And I was wondering if that's a real bad problem or what to do.
Mm. That's a cure.
That's a sign, a very significant sign.
Could be.
Yes.
Sometimes guys just get on a little urination roll.
Right. Is he drinking a lot? Alcohol?
No, that's just it.
And does he have a history of this in the past?
No.
Does he have... Huh.
And how often does this happen?
Well, like, we just went out of town for the weekend, and everything was fine while we were out of town. But, like, the last couple weeks when we've been at home, it happens about every night or every other night.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, here's what
going on in their life, though. I mean, sometimes people have regressive problems.
Well, first, let me give my kitchen timer speech out to everyone. Please. Please, everyone, listen to me. You know what I'm like? I'm like Jesus. I know the way. Let me show you the way. Follow me. Don't fight me. Follow me, my people, my brethren. You know what?
Your bedwetting brethren.
I died for your sins, number one, for your sins. But number two, I'm just giving you good answers. And everyone should listen to me.
Right,
please,
enough.
Everyone, listen to me. All right, and Drew probably doesn't have one of these yet. I beg. I just bought two more. I have about 13. Digital timers, small battery-operated digital timers. Go to the hardware store, go to the supermarket, go to the cooking supply place. Just go to any place they sell a spatula. Hmm. They'll sell one of these things, too. You can also get it at your, Costco or your Save-On or your Thrifties or places like that. It's $10, $9 or $10. It's about the size of a pocket watch, maybe a little bit bigger, and it's got hours, minutes, start and stop on it. Takes one AA battery, and you set it, and you don't have to set your alarm clock anymore. If you want to take a nap, hit it for an hour and go to bed. Don't have to sleep with one eye open. Nobody ever sets their alarm for their nap or anything. It works when you're traveling. It's perfect for everything. If you're wetting the bed, just set it for, I don't know, where would you
start, Drew?
Three.
Yeah.
Start three. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter when you go to bed. You just hit 3 hours. Dink, dink, dink. Boom. It's going to go off in 3 hours. When it goes off, you got to get up and take a leak.
Mm-hmm.
Evacuate the system, get back in bed. I guarantee you'll not wet the bed that night. If you wake up in 3 hours and the bed is wet, set it for 2.5 the next night, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yes?
Good. Now, Amanda, is there anything else we need to know about your boyfriend? Anything else going on with him right now?
Well, like, just recently, I was wondering if it could be caused by stress or anything like that.
What's
happening? He doesn't really wake up, and it's happened. He'll, like, be asleep, and then he'll wake up, and it'll be, like, in the midst of it, or it just happened.
What is the stress? What is the stress? I don't want to hear the details.
Explaining how it works.
Yeah, we understand how people wet beds.
Urine comes out of his pee-pee, and it's warm, and he's actually in bed, and he's asleep when the urine comes out of his pee-pee hole. He drinks fluids during the day that end up getting converted into urine, which end up coming out of the pee. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm. Right. You got it.
You're writing this down?
Done and done.
Well, the stress is, like, we're having, like, financial problems. I mean, everything in our relationship is going great, but, like, that's just the only thing that's really happening.
Well, you're 18. How old is he?
22.
And what's the financial problem? You're supposed to have financial problems at that age.
Well, just, like, bills and stuff, his credit cards, student loans. I mean...
No drugs or alcohol, though, huh?
No, we drink very occasionally, and he doesn't do drugs at all.
All right. I want you to repeat back to me my timer idea.
Amanda.
Okay, go buy a timer and set it for 3 hours once he falls asleep.
Right. What kind of timer?
Goes to the bathroom.
Good. Yeah. What kind of timer?
From the hardware store.
Keep going.
The one the size of a pocket watch.
Go to a kitchen supply place, probably better.
Digital timer.
Digital.
Okay, and actually, I also have another question
real
quick. I think I might be pregnant, and I am on the patch, and I was wondering how many days after my period is supposed to happen should I wait to take a pregnancy test?
Depends on what kind of test. I mean, generally 2 weeks is, but there are those out there that are sensitive at less than that, so pick the one that's the most sensitive. I think you can get up to a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's as soon as you can get
I have to go look. I haven't looked that in a long time. But
what about if you go to the doctor?
Usually 2 weeks, what we think of.
2 weeks?
You could do it quicker. I mean, but to really be certain, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. The doctor can't do it faster than
can,
what, the test?
But you're, if it's negative, it doesn't mean you're not pregnant.
All right. Let's talk to Nikki, who's 27. Nikki?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Yeah. What's going on?
I work for a girls' group home. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the girls have abused histories, mm-hmm. right?
Probably pretty much all of them, right?
Well, yeah, all of them.
Okay.
And so, like kids do, they participate in kind of sex play, but because of their abuse histories, it tends to be very inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And now, what are the ages?
Well, we've got from 10 to 15.
Yeah. Now, what do you mean, like kids do, they participate in sex play? What is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, like, you know, laughing about, you know, when they say penis and stuff like that. But these girls take it one step too far where they, you know, make blowjob expressions and, like, get in sexual positions.
Well, look, in your job is to help them contain these behaviors. They will have a tendency to be sexual compulsives, and they will certainly act out sexually. And part of the treatment is teaching them where these impulses come from, what they mean, to identify them and contain them, and what the consequences are if you don't. It's very
right.
simple sort of behavioral interventions. You need to contain how they dress. You need to contain touching. You need to contain the propriety of language. And that's, you know, in my unit, we do that all the time. The male counselors cannot approach the females about this. Other women need to go and sort of counsel them gently.
Why can't the men do it?
It just doesn't come off right.
I'd like to try.
I have a charge nurse who has a very sort of nice way of approaching this. She said, you know, you're in an institution. You don't know other people's histories. You can evoke things that could be dangerous for you. Think about dressing like a schoolgirl, like you're in school. Oh, and
slow
not,
down.
Not
slow
that,
down,
not
brother.
That.
Slow down.
Like you're in an institution. Like you're, it's a conservative dress.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not, we're not singling you out. It's just that this is proper in this environment. Yeah. And what you're trying to learn and what might come up, you know, what you might evoke from other people if you're not careful.
Yeah. Okay. They don't know what evoke means.
Okay. What I'm worried about is possibly... where while I'm trying to contain this behavior, creating any more scarring.
No, Nikki, please. No.
Yeah,
okay.
They need a firm, steady hand.
Empathic, be gentle, but be firm.
You need to
go in and listen. You got to do what they need. And kids that can't contain have to be either sent out or to high level of care. You got to make sure they're assessed properly, make sure they're not manic or something that they actually can't contain.
I couldn't imagine, by the way. And how do we even think, especially, you know, you talk about foster care and stuff. You know, it's like, well, I got a couple of 13 and 14-year-old teenage boys. I got some 13 and 14-year-old teenage girls. We're all living in. We got a three-bedroom.
It's a loving environment. We love each other.
We dinner at the same table. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah,
these people that were abused,
I know.
That were exposed
well,
to so much.
No boundaries. They can't see boundaries. And so it's just whatever feels good. It's like whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
avoiding pain all the time.
You take a bunch of kids that were sexually and or physically abused, they hit 12, 13. They don't have to hit 12, 13. But you put them at 12, 13, put them together, let the experiment begin. I mean, it's like a Dr. Frankenstein's lab.
Mm-hmm.
Guys and girls are going to be going at it. There's going to be more abuse. There's going to be rape.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine that these homes would be almost anything but that.
Well,
and now,
this is a you know, a institution, though. This is a place where they're monitored care.
Right.
It's not just a foster care.
Now, back... You know, and I think the idea of segregating the males and the females would have worked at one time, but now
that
females, I mean, males will go at it, but females will really go at it now.
With each other.
With 13-year-old girls that were sexually abused, it's game on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there was the, Madonna tonguing Britney Spears on MTV.
Right.
It's certainly game on.
It is game on, but it doesn't have the same power putting a penis in the mix.
Oh, no.
Because the guy's motivated more strongly.
Let me explain. If it was a stew, a vagina would be a potato. You know what I mean? Just sort of bland. It stretches it out. It's nice. But penis.
Menudo.
That's cayenne pepper.
Oh, cayenne pepper.
I mean, just a little
That'd
pinch.
That'd be tripe.
Just a pinch. just a pinch of it, boom. You can't put as much in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're equal parts potato and equal parts cayenne pepper, you can't taste
it. Disaster then.
Fire. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. Pow. Okay. Where are we, Drew?
We're taking a break.
Really?
Yeah.
I could go for some stew. You know, like I could go for some oh yeah. All right, I'm getting hungry. Let's take ourselves
Dinty
a little break.
Moore.
Nice can of Dinty Moore.
Yeah.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Woo! Yeah, love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew and I just talked about Hungarian food for 4 minutes straight. Actually, Drew just listened while I talked to him about Hungarian food.
Well, I mentioned that I have to eat now.
Now he's hungry.
Yeah.
We'll hit like one of those all-night Hungarian drive-thrus on the way home. They got them out here in Culver City, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's got to be 10 of them between here and your house.
Yeah.
Most of them serve. I think they close early on Sunday, 2 a.m. Got to get by there.
We'll find one.
Yeah, get a big bucket of goulash to go. Mm. Vanessa?
Uh-huh.
You're 26?
Yeah.
Strangely, the place is called Goulash to Go.
What?
Great restaurant. I also lost a lot of money on a place called Goulash on a Stick.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it didn't work. It
was a great idea, though.
People were burning their hands, though. But, I mean, it's good stuff. You can get it to your mouth. Go ahead, Vanessa.
I was wondering if I need to be worried. The only way I can achieve orgasm during intercourse is by having pain afflicted on me.
Mm. Well, it usually means something's up, but not always. You have any stuff? Well, you're calling from Riverside, so there had to be abuse. You had to be a victim of abuse. Yeah?
I'm not from here, though.
Worse, you've chosen to reside there.
I ate at a Denny's in Riverside today.
Painful.
That's even worse, huh?
Yeah, which means you must come from somewhere horrible if you decided that this was a good place to lay down stakes.
I'm from Orange County.
Ooh. Have we spoken to you before?
No.
All right. So were you abused growing up?
Yeah.
All right.
And what is it people need to do to you?
My neighbor, my friend's dad, used to abuse me.
All right, got that. But what is it they need to do to you now in order to get your orgasm?
Oh, like all kinds of stuff. Like choking me, slapping me, getting burned with cigarettes.
Oh, jeez.
Now see... You know, a tug on the ponytail and a little tap on the ass, that's one thing. But burning with the cigarettes, you got a problem there, Missy.
Yeah.
Your neighbor growing up, the father used to molest you?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Did he ever get busted?
I told on him, but nothing ever happened.
How does that work?
I don't know. I was 11.
You told your mom or your dad?
I told a teacher at school.
Mm-hmm. Nothing happened.
Were you
treated? Would you get any?
Glad the person in the background's amused by that story.
A little laughter in the background.
Crazy. I was ritualistically sexually abused by my neighbor. Told my teacher, but no one ever did anything. I hope they're watching. Hee-haw. I hope they weren't just laughing at that. All right, Vanessa. Uh-oh. She hung up because she thought you were laughing at her, girl.
Or maybe this bogus call.
Mm-hmm. Could have been, but it was kind of, well, the
sounded
cigarette
right.
Cigarette burn part seemed a little
weird.
Well, here's the thing. It's sort of out of the movies. Like, I know there's chicks that are kind of hard asses and like a good whacking around
burns,
and everything, but
that's something people do to themselves. I've never seen anybody inflict
it. It is, and I don't even know if you could hold still physically to let somebody go. As they start coming, like, I don't care if you, G. Gordon Liddy couldn't do it.
And by the way, how do you do that? How does that work?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Chris, do you get my G. Gordon Liddy reference?
No.
All
right.
Do you know, he was associated with a famous American historical event.
Okay.
had a radio show for a while? Yeah, okay.
Who was the president you think he was associated with?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's give him a few more names.
No. What do you mean? From that era?
Alderman.
No. Come on. I picked the most famous of the group.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right.
Halderman is it, right?
Yeah.
Ehrlichman. Halderman.
Deep Throat? Let me get to that. Okay.
Agnew.
All right, let's keep going, Drew.
Okay.
Talking about Watergate? Yeah, you got that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep rocking here, Drew. Junior college, everybody. Christy.
Yes.
You're 20?
20.
What's up, baby doll?
First of all, I've actually already technically been diagnosed clinically depressed.
Mm.
I am on Wellbutrin as well as Ritalin because I'm ADD.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, within the past month, I have been meeting all of my friends, close friends, as well as people at work who are all younger than me. They're not all younger than me, but the ones that I hang out with outside of work are all younger than me and either married, pregnant, or engaged.
Now, hold on, goofball. You're 20.
Yes.
So you're hanging around with 18-year-old, 19-year-olds that are...
No, actually, there's one girl at work.
Yeah, there's one girl at work.
She's 20 years old. She's technically, we're the same age. She's a month younger than me, and she's been married for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another girl across the hall from me in my dorm room, and...
Dorm room. You going to college?
I am in college.
And there are people in college who are married around you?
Yes.
Well, they won't stay married. The data on people marriage in that age is abysmal.
What college do you go to?
I don't know if I should say.
Go ahead. It's in Arizona somewhere, right?
Yes.
ASU.
Grand Canyon University.
Hold on a second. I picture just a huge hole. Everyone's looking down, climbing like a rope ladder down. I got a civics class I got to get to, and it's just ropeless people rappelling down. No, mules traversing down canyons, pack mules filled with textbooks. Grand Canyon University?
Hmm.
Really?
A lot of schools in this country, never heard of.
Wow. At least you know where it is.
Yeah.
Well, although so once in a while, it's like, yeah, it's in Florida.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens every once in a while. But the point is, I didn't know. It sounds like, what do you major in? Making salt shakers shaped like those cliff-dwelling huts. Like, I imagine everything to be sort of surrounding the tourism industry. Where is she? Why is she on 01? Christy, what are you majoring over there?
I am majoring in psychology.
Okay. Wow. At Grand Canyon University.
Anyway, what are you obsessing about other people's getting marriage
yeah,
for?
Yeah, look, if you're 19 and you're married and you got a kid, you're a loser, right?
Not only that, if you're married at 20, you're not going to be married at 30, statistically.
Isn't that what hillbillies do?
What?
Isn't that what hillbillies do? They're, you know, two kids and married at 20?
No, there's other people that I'm very good friends with that are 25, 26, and already have, like, three kids.
Okay. Well, they're 25, 26. You're 20.
A.
Yes.
Well, it's still very young to be doing
that. I don't understand what you're thinking about. You're just lonely. You don't have a man.
Well, yeah, but then again, I get all obsessed about myself and think that I'm not good enough for anybody. And...
Well, why are you all up in your head, baby? You're 20. You're going to the prestigious Grand Canyon University. I wonder if there's a Grand Canyon Junior College. I can imagine what went on there.
It's a private Christian school.
Okay. Are there any men around?
Yes.
They're mostly Hopi Indians and Rangers?
Why don't you start dating?
Yeah, start dating. Old guys who worked on the Hoover Dam?
No, there's normal people here.
All right. Find a nice, normal male and date them.
But that's hard.
Why?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Is there something going on? Well, I'll give you a clue. As a guy, here's what I'm picking up. You're 20 and sound like you're 35. Like, you sound like one of my mom's friends. Just act 20. Lighten up a little bit. You're
well,
all up in your head.
I have three older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole life, I have grown up around older people.
Right.
Some of my best friends are...
Yeah, we get it. They're the ripe old age of 25.
26, yeah.
Okay, yeah, old timers, as we call them. Listen, Christine, you're 20. You're a college student. Just start acting like a college student is 20, so you find a guy.
A little therapy, too. Somebody support you through this. You sort out your thoughts. You're spinning. You're spinning. Yeah. And the medication is not going to be sufficient to stop that. I mean, I'm glad you're tending to yourself, but a therapist.
Let's power through some calls.
All right.
Lisha, 17.
Yeah.
You're virgin, and you get too nervous to have sex with your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You're not ready to. You're only 17. Relax.
Like, I have, like, certain days that I really want to, and, like, I talk to him about it, and, like,
that's true.
He tells me that he's not going to pressure me into it if I don't really want to.
Then the ether ride comes out.
But then again, I want to.
Yeah, just when you're clear you want to all the time, that's when you do it, not before that.
Were you ever abused?
No.
All right, then you're cool.
Relax.
Just make sure you use some protection and take it slow. Don't tell him, by the way, every time you're thinking about getting close to doing it.
Decide when you're very, very clear that it's something you want to do and you feel comfortable with it.
Right.
Then like, you tell
him. The zookeeper telling the line. It's close to feeding time, but not quite yet.
See,
but this is
the
what
steak,
it looks
the
like.
Steak, yeah.
See this big T-bone? Yeah, this Fred Flintstone size.
I don't feel comfortable
T-bone.
Giving it to you. Don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, but at a certain point...
You may.
I don't know, you may. Like, the tiger's just going through the bars and going to jump you.
Women do not understand that piece about what triggers desire in men. Desire, and when they come, it's like literally, men are like somebody who hasn't eaten for 2 weeks and you're holding a pork chop in front of them.
Yes.
It's insane. It drives men insane.
No, you cannot monkey with a guy that way.
Yeah.
And they don't realize the urge, and they don't realize, like, it's like, why would a nice guy do this? Why would he do that? Why would he stoop to this? Why would he lie? Why would he plot?
Under the influence of testosterone.
Why would a guy who's a father of three and a loving husband and a hard... Why, he sold his mother's jewelry and took to the streets. You know, it's like, yeah, he's strung out.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you do things.
Right.
And... sex isn't that way, but you take an 18-year-old guy you give him a little taste and it gets under his skin, it makes him do things. True, passionate man, yes? Mm. Yeah, not proud, passionate. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Well, that's the show, y'all. Ian Somerhalder is going to be in here tomorrow night along with Maggie Grace.
That's going to be interesting.
Smoking hot blonde. They play brother and sister. Very good looking. I can't judge dudes' looks.
Yeah, of course.
Because I ain't, I ain't gay.
You needn't say that even.
But my friends tell me he's good looking.
Then Tuesday?
Yeah, from Lost, everybody, tomorrow night. All right, let's take a little break here, Drew. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Try to get the head of your penis through there right now. I'm going to hang on.
That's a little difficult. I'm kind of driving right now. What?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.